And they haven't gotten nearly as much attention because of the catastrophic. No,
I don't think there's a verb for catastrophe.
Catastrophic.
Found it.
I found it. Look at that. Didn't even need Tiki. The catastrophic ways they are losing. But I was thinking about this morning as well while Spence was on the playground. All I could think about was Tommy Lugauer. Because, yeah, that's right, Tommy.
Please provide context to why you watching a young child on a playground would make you think of me. I'm begging you. I'm literally begging you to provide a lot of context. Thank you.
Actually, not context, but I got to compliment Tommy. I went to SummerSlam over the weekend. And so I was talking to my wife about my other experiences sitting ringside. We didn't sit first row, but I was like seventh row ringside. Very unique seats, and I appreciate it.
Could your kids see?
They had a tough time seeing.
Okay.
But it was okay. It was still a fun experience for everybody, and I got a workout because I was lifting them up every 5 seconds. But I was telling my wife about the time that Tommy was with me for an AEW ringside seat and how I told her, I was like, you know, I'll tell you this about Tommy. Say what you want about him, obnoxious, annoying, all that crap.
You didn't have to throw that part in there, but okay.
Say what you want about him in list anything.
Tommy was concerned, and he said it multiple times that night, about about Jet being okay, being that close to ringside where guys can run into the gate. And there was even a moment where it happened, and the gate came flying at us. And I was like, Lugie was more concerned than anybody. And my wife was like, that is so sweet. Like, he really would make a good father. I said, I think he would, though. I don't know what his plans are, but yeah. And it was very sweet how you were concerned about the well-being of my son. Because of the closeness of the wrestling. So it's a compliment.
Well, I appreciate that. And it is no joke. I don't care if it's a 300-pound guy or a 150-pound woman that's getting thrown into that or whatever. It is scary.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It gets pushed back. Like, we got hit a couple times on it.
We did. Jet thought it was funny, but he was concerned.
Would you give up a chance at the Mets winning the World Series this year to see Tommy be a father even for 1 year?
No.
I would give up a Yankee playoff appearance.
Why would I do that? No offense, Tommy.
But what would I be a father of?
A child. Like,
no. I know that,
Tommy.
To see
you become a father, but just that first year experience.
You
mean you're one of the child.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
I gotcha. It would be funny to see Tommy as a father, and I think he'd be good at it. I'm going to compliment him. He'd figure it out.
I'm not sure.
But on what planet am I giving up a Met World Series so that Tommy could be a father?
Well, you can't guarantee you're winning the World Series anyway. But if I told you, you know what? Mets are going to bottom out and not make the playoffs this year.
No.
But you get Tommy as a father.
No.
Wow.
No.
You're a bad friend.
No offense, Tommy. Unless Tommy came to me and said, look, this is my dream. You have to give up a Met World Series for me to be a father. Of course, then I'd consider it. I'm not a complete ogre. But in terms of would I give it up just to see it? No. Anyhow, can I get back to my point now?
Sure.
Because it was a good point. Tommy last year would tell me, when I had a tough time believing in the Mets, he'd say, but Evan, since June 1st, they're the best team in the National League. So as I was skeptical in August and skeptical in early September, one of the things Tommy would always say to me is, bro, since June 1st, nobody's better. And eventually, I was like, you're right. And it turned out to sort of be true. They got to the NLCS. They got to the Dodgers, right? And so Tommy would always cite that. And I'm a big baseball fan, but I also believe, you know, don't go crazy about small sample sizes.
Mm-hmm.
So his citing of, hey, Mets since June 1st, they're better than everybody, finally rang true by the end of the season. I was like, look, it's tough to argue with him. I'd say the Phillies are better. And Tommy would be like, well, not really. Since June 1st, the Mets are better. So I thought about that this morning because this year is the opposite. It just is. Like, the Mets are a game and a half out of first place. Great, they're still in it. But they have been a bad team for almost 2 months and a mediocre team for 3.5 months. Since June 13th, that infamous day where Sean and I argued who's better, the Mets or the Yankees. The Mets are 18-26. Like, do the math. I'll do it for you.
That's 8 games under.
That's a 44-game sample size. And yes, it's 8 games under. They're 18-26. If you want to go all the way back to April 29th, which was the second game of a series against the Diamondbacks, right after they won the opener, right after they had split with the Nationals and swept the Phillies, 84 games. So again, big sample size. They're 43-41. Yeah. So for a super majority of the season, the Mets are a 500 team. For a little bit less than that, but their most recent 46-game sample size, they're not a good team. And so when I watched them last night, yes, they showed a lot of fight coming back. And I watch them lose again, and they have had a bad homestand. They're 1-3. And obviously they got swept by San Diego. I think back to the 7-game winning streak, as much as I liked it, and now I see this, where they've lost 6 out of 7, whatever it's up to now, and I start to question what they are. And I do that because of Tommy. I do it because he put it in my head last year. Like, don't get crazy about the overall record. Look what they've done since then.
I think it's a smart approach that Tommy had. I'm assuming he's going with the same approach as he did last year as well.
There's no way Tommy's going with the same approach, but he's convinced me to where I sit here on August 5th and you ask me as a Met fan, I'll never say they're dead. Like, get hot at the right time, anything can happen. But in terms of, hey, are the Mets good? I'm starting to just live with them mediocre because that's what they've been for a majority of this season.
See, I disagree with that. I would look more towards the start of the season. So, like, last year I went from June 1st on. This year I would go from the start of the year to about June 15th. That was right around the argument that you guys had about mm-hmm. who the best team is in New York. Yeah. And I would say that team still exists. And their biggest or two biggest things that have plagued them, starting rotation, which obviously occurred with injuries. Mm-hmm. They have strengthened their bullpen, which I think will help their rotation going forward. Manaea will only get better. Senga will figure this out. And I think it'll, Peterson, we know, has been their best pitcher for a year. So they have a strength there, three guys, and then they have a elite 7, 8, 9. And I'll keep saying this. I know you don't want to hear it. The runners in scoring position, that batting average will get better.
I hope so.
They were an inch or two away last night from winning that game.
But the inch game, you could argue with Juan Soto was an inch away from bouncing into a double play the other night when he got the game-tying hit. You know what I mean? Like,
you could argue about every team in baseball and every game.
Yeah, and as far as they're going to hit with runners in scoring position, I kind of think the same thing. I've been saying it all year, like, they're not this bad. But eventually, you just accept what you are. And if we're not doing it yet on August 5th, when do we do it? When do we just say maybe this offense isn't what we thought? They're a below-average offense. It's the way they produced all season long. Like, you just said, hey, let's judge it from the beginning of the year. Well, from the beginning of the year, this is not a great offense. So it's weird. What I love about this sport and what I hate about this sport is that just get in the playoffs and get hot at the right time. And I acknowledge that, and that's where the sport is. But as we sit here on August 5th, when they're in another funk after they recently got out of a funk, it's tough to, like, not just believe they're mediocre because that's what they've been for the majority of the season.
I just think they haven't found the right combination in order to unlock their true potential.
What combination are you talking about? Like lineup?
Lineup, just guys in the, like, even like Beatty last night at third. Like, we could have the argument, should Acuna be up here, not Beatty? Going to the bullpen, which it's at the strength it's at now. Hitting with runners in scoring position. Soto really maximizing that guy we saw his entire career. They haven't clicked yet.
They haven't. I agree with that.
And I expect them to. And when they do, I think we will see the magic. Lindor, obviously, going through it a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, they haven't really clicked on all cylinders yet. I think they will.
I think a lot of what you say is very, very fair. Like, it really is about what they can be, especially Soto, if he mm-hmm. can take off the way we saw last year. The only difference, and it's a slight word difference, is you expect it to change. I'm just hoping it's going to change because it's very tough to expect something when for the majority of the season, you've seen something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean by that?
No,
so
I agree.
I'm not saying, like, oh, you're dead wrong. They suck. Like, that's stupid. That's over the top.
But the last 6 weeks, they could. And then we look at that sample size heading into October and go, look what they've been for the last 6 weeks. That's probably the team they are now.
That's what I'm assuming. So even when they put together the 7-game winning streak, which was great, and it was fantastic, and we're all feeling good, they respond against, let's face it, like, the Padres are good. The Giants sold off their pieces. And the Guardians are a average team fighting for a playoff spot in a crappy league. Like, I'm not saying they're the worst teams in the world, but they're at home where they had so much success. And look what they've done so far. It's just, it's disheartening. And last night's game was another one because I'm also waiting for this team to feel special. They don't feel special. They feel like a good team. They feel like a talented team or a mediocre team, whatever you want to call them.
You're right. It's not even a grimace thing. Just the aura of moments that happen in a year.
And I thought last night, like always, they had a shot. Especially Pete. I mean, Pete Alonso's coming up with the bases loaded, tie game after he hits the home run. He has a chance to tie Darryl Strawberry's home run record. Like, could you imagine if he had a grand slam? I was saying it to Jet because we were at the game last night. I was like, this could be a moment you'll never forget.
Yeah.
You talk about a moment. You talk about a DVD moment. And the team sort of lacks it. Doesn't mean they can't have it. Doesn't mean it won't happen. But they don't feel special at all. They just feel like, yeah, they're a talented team and they're okay. Like, That's the concerning part. So my panic level is not nearly as high as it would be for the Yankees. I'm not talking about firing the manager.
It's not panic, but you're just not feeling it.
No.
I think that's the best way to put it.
And I hope it changes.
Yeah.
And it can change. That's why the difference between you and I, Tommy, isn't overall our view on the team. It's you expect it to. I'm hoping it
happens. Plus, I think it's, you know, advantageous for them to peak at the right time. And we're not even there yet. I would say like that late August is where you want to see the best of a baseball team. It's that Jeter line. It's not the best team. It's the hottest team
absolutely.
That gets through. So if this is the worst of it and we're about to see the best of it, then I'm excited for that. Even last night, there was just like this little thing here and there. I don't know what word you want to attribute to it, where if they had just done this one thing, they would have won the game. Whether it's bunting with Nimmo, whether it's sending Taylor there.
I mean, that's the big one that
Mullins,
jumps out at us.
Mullins hit two rockets. One of them was caught by the second baseman, and then the one to right field. They were right there.
Yeah,
you know
they were
what
close.
I mean? Like,
it happens, though. That's baseball.
But when is it? I feel like that. I don't want to say it's bad luck, but stuff like that, I know it's going to turn.
I will defend Tommy with this, with bad luck. The numbers back up that the Mets have had a lot of bad luck with runners in scoring position doesn't mean it's all going to magically change, but they have hit into a lot of bad luck. But
that's
I don't know.
Part of
I'm
it,
not
though, right?
confident it's going to change.
Yeah. I mean, luck sometimes that's a storyline for a whole season, right?
Yeah.
You hit into the bad luck. What, that's going to change just because it's used the word luck? You
no,
know what I, mean?
I agree. And last night, like, I just want to be honest about the send and the non-send. As Lindor hits that ball into the right field corner, I could move my neck to stare at Sarbaugh because I know this is what's going to determine things. I'm staring at the third base coach. And my thought was, you should send him. He will beat this.
Make them make a play.
When he doesn't send him, you could feel the groan at Citi Field. I groan too. But my reaction was, you know what? If there's ever a time to be conservative, it would be knowing, okay, they're going to walk Soto, and here's Alonso with the bases loaded, one out, and he's 4-for-4.
No,
like
you
that's the moment to do it. But would I have sent him? Yes. But I also know that this is more on Pete and McNeil not coming through, and really as a team, them not coming through, and Beatty obviously making a bad throw, and also Lindor should have caught that. Like, it's an error on Brett Beatty. I don't want to get nuts here, but Francisco's got to catch that. It's off his glove. Stop.
But
stop
he's it. Also, his momentum's pulling the other way. He, you know, it's actually an incredible play just to have it come off the glove.
Listen, maybe I have a higher bar for my shortstop defense than you do.
Well, I've seen a lot of bad of it. So, yeah.
I expect... Part of my critique sometime on Francisco is that I expect more from him.
Okay.
It's like a kid who gets straight A's and they come home with an A-.
I just disagree.
You know what I mean?
I just disagree. I think this goes for even if you catch it a long pass in basketball, football, baseball. The idea of if you get a hand on it, you must catch it. That's not always the case.
I'm not saying it's always the case. I'm saying it's the case in this situation. You should have made the play. But they add a lot of negative things, and they obviously lose. And it sucks.
And what was the... take us through the thought process of walking Jose Ramirez.
That's a no-brainer. Who the hell would argue that? Let me get my scorebook out. You want to face Jose Ramirez instead of the 150 David Fry?
No,
what
no,
are you high?
I'm not saying that.
You want to fight? Let's go.
MLB The Show tells Jet to walk Ramirez every time.
This is what I would say.
Go ahead.
And Helsley did nothing wrong, but I feel like this would Edwin too. This is why I don't like bringing closers in the middle of an inning with guys on. I think they pitch better when no one's on because they're used to not having anybody on. They're not like a middle reliever that comes into those situations.
Hold on.
Plus, you know a bunt's coming in and you're going to have second and third.
Okay.
Then you walk the next guy for the double play. And just take me through the strategy.
I'm going to walk you through it. He got me in the weeds. I'll get in the weeds. Because when I did the drive home, Rico, I didn't have my scorebook out. Now
thank,
I have it out.
Thank goodness. Focus on the road, Ev.
There's a runner on second and nobody out, and the only hitter, honestly, the only hitter worth a damn. I know Kwan's okay.
Kwan, I would throw in there.
He's fine. He's Brandon Nimmo with less power. Want to have an honest conversation? Strikes out less. That's the trade-off. Kwan and Nimmo are the same, except Nimmo strikes out more and hits more home runs. Their OPS is whatever. Bottom line is he's fine, okay? He's fine. Jose Ramirez is a Hall of Famer. You know that as well as I do.
Yes.
The guy hitting behind him is hitting 172. The guy hitting behind him is Carlos Santana, who at this point in his career doesn't really scare me. So what you're saying with a runner on second, nobody out in a tie game is, I'm not letting him beat me. And if David Fry wants to give me an out and gets the bunt down, which is no guarantee. And by the way, he didn't get the bunt down. It was a bad bunt. It should have been a force out.
Yeah.
I would absolutely have been pissed off if this manager allowed Jose Ramirez to beat him. In fact, in the seventh inning, I hated that.
That's
he
what I was about
him.
To say. They attacked, but they attacked him earlier in the game,
and I hated it.
Okay,
I'm telling you right now, I hated it. I did not. I said it to Jet. I was like, "Why are we facing this guy? He's the one guy worth a damn right. in this lineup." And by the way, Ramirez, you want to talk about good luck? Hit the ball hard. Mm-hmm. Just hit it right at the second baseman. So you have to walk Jose Ramirez. I hate to be a jerk. If you disagree, I think you're nuts.
Especially
I don't even
that,
see the other side.
Especially with that lineup.
I agree. And if Stephen Wolf wants to give me an out by laying down a bunt, fine. Fine.
I'm not saying I disagree. I just think that
sounds like you do.
No, because I would imagine a lot of people in our audience question that decision.
Why?
Because
he's the only guy they've heard of in the lineup, and they're going to question.
I don't think anybody in our audience has heard. I love Jose.
Stephen Kwan. Everybody wanted to live. Oh,
I know.
Jose Ramirez is a Hall of Famer. He is a great player. He is one of the most unheralded, unrecognizable. I don't think the average fan even knows who he is.
Okay,
so they're probably sitting there going, "Why are we walking Jose Ramirez?" Well, then I know how great he is, so but a lot of people don't.
Okay,
in my opinion,
I'll explain it again. Jose Ramirez.
People don't know Jose Ramirez at this stage. He's in the playoffs every year.
Tommy's being very demeaning.
MVP candidate.
They said it on the broadcast. You don't take my word for it. Gary Cohen said it basically that a lot of people just don't recognize Jose Ramirez because when they mention all the stars in baseball, they don't mention how great this guy's been, and he's been great for a decade.
So what are you asking me to argue then? Like, I'm not going to sit here arguing if he's overrated or underrated or what people know. I'm telling you that with a runner on second and nobody out in the 10th inning, if Mendy faced him, you know what I would equate it to? I'm going to bring up a moment from, I think it was 2023. Remember when Buck Showalter actually faced Vladimir Guerrero with an open base Mets Blue Jays? The day of WWE at Westchester in White Plains?
Yeah.
Is the same day?
Well, come on.
How could we forget it was the same day?
How could we forget?
Yeah. How
could
we forget? Those two go hand in hand, for sure.
That was
the day your wife quit going to wrestling events.
No, that happened at Saturday night's main event.
Oh, I'm sorry. She was good in White Plains.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
In White Plains, it was good. Yeah, my wife doesn't like going to wrestling because she thinks the fans are mostly animals who are disgusting, who spit all over the place.
And I agree with her.
She's not incredibly wrong about that.
She's not.
So,
well, wait, is your wife a Jets fan?
Why are you in this conversation?
The context of this is that Sean Marash, you missed this yesterday, and we'll get to a little bit later on perhaps, is that the reason Russell Wilson got booed yesterday is because it was mostly Jet fans there, because, and I quote, Jet fans are immature, they have no lives, they can't pick up tricks. Does that make sense?
I heard what he said. I'll get to it later. I'm not there yet. We got a lot of the show to get to.
Yeah, there's plenty of time. We got 3 hours left.
Is that it? Only 3 hours?
Like three and a half.
Anyhow, my point is, it was a no-brainer to walk Jose Ramirez. The problem was the error by Brett Beatty, and then Helsley did nothing wrong. He got a ground out to first base, a fly ball to right field, and a pop-up. The Met defense and Manfred's dumb rule cost him 2 runs.
Okay, so then my other counter would be then Helsley's got strikeout stuff. If you go after Ramirez, you get the strikeout. I found it, like, adding more guys on base, I always find to be, unless it's like...
Can you do me a favor and either grow a pair of balls? Are you arguing the move or not? Because at first you said... hold on. At first you said...
What does my area have to do with anything?
Let me finish. You said, I'm doing it for the people listening.
I
don't know. What's your opinion? Because if it's your opinion, own it instead of just using unnamed listeners as your backup to argue this move.
I'm trying to have a sports discussion with you and an argument that I think a lot of people in our audience probably woke up
this
morning.
Forget a lot of people in the audience. Did you want to walk Ramirez or not?
I would go after him.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you're nuts.
I would go after him in that spot.
He does have a pair of balls.
I would go after him in that spot only because of the guy that was pitching, strikeout stuff. I don't like to add other runners on base because then you create the situation that happened, whereas you get bunts, things like that. Like, I would say just go after him. And Mendy's gone after, he went after Judge in the Subway Series.
Yeah,
that backfired.
I disagree with him.
And he went after Ramirez 2 innings earlier with Rodgers, who's not a strikeout pitcher.
And I hated it. Okay. I mean, I don't think you should let great players beat you. And the Guardians right now, first of all, their offense scores less than 4 runs per game. And their offense is predicated around one superstar. So David Fry, who's at 172, who I don't even know if he can lay a bunt down, to me it's a no-brainer. But it took me a while to get it out of you that that's your opinion. And I think you were intimidated by having an in-the-weeds baseball
no,
dog.
It's not that.
It's not that.
Yeah,
because
sure
if he
knows.
Says that,
yeah.
He's negative about something the Mets did.
That's correct. So I have to provide that I am speaking for the people in that way, that they thought it was negative. These views do not reflect the views of positive Tommy. They reflect the views of Joey in the fourth row.
I'm shocked by you, Evan. You haven't picked up on this. He's positive Tommy. There can be no criticism that comes to his teams if he's always positive.
I'm very confused, so I'm just going to let it go.
Okay.
Let's go to Anthony in Bridgewater, New Jersey. What's up, Anthony?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Hey, listen, Evan. I agree with you 100%. You know how you just get a feel for a team? I just don't have that feel for this Mets team this year. Anytime they feel like they have a little momentum going, you know, they win 5-6 in a row, then they lose 4 or 5 in a row. Last year's team I felt a little more confident in, but to your point, I guess all bets are off when you make the playoffs. I guess they just got to get in and then everything's fine in the world, I guess. There's some major problems with this team. That the fifth starter is a disaster. Hitting with runners in scoring position is a disaster. The top of the lineup has been a disaster. You know, there's a lot of things that have to be cleaned up in the next couple of weeks. You know, you look at even the wild card standings. That's not a lock right now.
No, it's not. It's not. So, but here's the good news with all of this is I agree with how you feel right now. I don't feel great about this team on August 5th. But I've seen enough seasons where the feeling of being special changes when you least expect it. Can I give a Met example?
Sure.
I'm going to keep it to the same team and use them as an example instead of a random Giant or Jet example.
You don't want to bring it back to the Jets.
Or a Brooklyn Nets example. The 2016 New York Mets. Now, remember, in 15, they go on the magical run, they go to the World Series, and the following year, they were under 500 in the middle of August. And it looked like they were buried. And it looked like the season was over. And they were in San Francisco. They were 60-62. Think about that.
Wow.
And they were, I want to say, like 6 or 7 games out of a playoff spot, kind of in that range. Like, not completely buried, but not close. And they won a game against the Giants. Then they won another game against the Giants. I think Yoenis had a big day. They went to St. Louis. They had success. They took off. And they had some magical moments along the way. I'll never forget the Asdrubal Cabrera walk-off home run against the Phillies. They had a lot of really cool moments, and they made the playoffs. Now, unfortunately, it ended right away because they lost the wild card game. But that team ended up kind of feeling special and performing better than we thought, really only just over the last month and a half. So it is not unforeseen for this team that doesn't feel special and it doesn't feel unique to all of a sudden get hot at the right time. But it hasn't happened yet. And those concerns he mentioned, like the rotation, here's what I feel good about. Here's how it can change. I can give you a roadmap on how all that can change. I think Manaea had one bad inning yesterday. I'm not concerned about him. Kodai Senga's had a few bad starts in a row, unless there's physical issues. Still not worried about him.
Okay.
And they've got, and this is the key, and this is where David Stearns has to wake the F up, and I'm getting tired of this. You got two guys in AAA who are dominating. Two guys who are ready to come up. And I've seen it before where young guys come up and they impact a team in a major way.
Energy.
So make the call, and they're already halfway there. As soon as Carlos Mendoza opened his mouth and said, we may use Frankie Montas as a bulk guy and use an opener, bro, you know what that means. They know he sucks. That's what it means.
Right.
Once you start thinking about openers, it's like you're halfway there.
Right. What is a bullpen arm for 2 innings before Montas changed? He's still pitching the same innings.
They're telling you.
Yeah.
So things can change, obviously. Tommy said it. They could start hitting with runners in scoring position. I ain't ruling it out. But on August 5th, they've been an average team for 2 months. They've actually been a crappy team for 2 months. They've been an average team for 3 months. Let's go to Chris in Massapequa. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I listen to your show every day. You guys are awesome.
Appreciate it.
I just wanted to talk about the intentional walk to Jose Ramirez last night.
Yes.
And, Evan, I do see your side of it, and I see the side of why you would walk him. He's the biggest threat in their lineup. Here's the reason I disagree with it. Now you allow a team to score 2 runs without even getting a hit. If Jose Ramirez leads off the inning with a home run, it's 7-5 anyway. And is that really going to happen? He's a 300 hitter. He's a great hitter, but in the bottom of the, if it was the other way around, if it was the bottom of the inning and the Mets didn't get a run and first base is open and you're playing to try to get through the inning, 100% put him on. But now you open the door to an inning with an error and no hits, and now you're down 7-5 and you haven't even given up a run.
But the only way you could give up a second run without giving up a hit is if something catastrophic. Second time I'm trying to use
catastrophic.
The second time something catastrophic happens, which is the error by Brett Beatty.
And you're also creating force outs everywhere, too.
In terms of walking him.
Yes.
No, you're right. So I just think sometimes, and we can get into kind of the weeds on, like you just mentioned, the force outs or his mention of, well, one mistake, it cost 2 runs. How about not facing the best hitter? How about making a decision that we won't let that guy beat us? And that's why I want to be respectful to Chris. I don't really care as much being respectful to Tommy because he didn't even really want to have the opinion. He was afraid to. But I think you guys are nuts. You want to face Jose Ramirez? That's the definition of Monday morning quarterbacking. I'm sorry. There's no way in the moment if you're sitting there, you're like, let's face Jose Ramirez. You're saying it because it didn't work. And it didn't work because Brett Beatty, and this is a message for Brett Beatty. Bro, the reason you're still here is because you've played really good defense at second and third base. And I give you credit for that, bro. You've done a great job. That can't happen.
I mean, he's also partially here left-handed with Winker hurt, too. But
I think he's mostly here because he's shown he can defend.
Right.
If he couldn't defend, it's a different discussion. Then Acuna has more of a case of being here. But if you can defend, which he's done this season, I think it made it easier to keep him around. Well, that's a bad error. Because it cost them a game. Before we get back to your baseball calls, Met fans concerned, Yankee fans pissed off. I'm talking about removing the manager when it comes to the Yankees to spark the team. Let's laugh a little bit. Let's have some fun. Let's think a little bit with a brand new edition of Posted and Toasted.
It's time for Posted and Toasted.
Where I read the old tweets of fellow FAN coworkers, and in this case, Tiki and Loogie will guess who of their coworkers.
Wow, Tiki's on the line to guess?
Tiki's on the line to guess, is that true?
You just said Tiki and Loogie will guess.
Oh, is that what I said?
Yeah.
I try to imagine you're Tiki.
You're wrong.
I mean, we are both former football players. So.
just to make me feel better when I miss him. But no, Tiki is not on the line. I think he's drunk in Jersey.
I love it.
Is that an accurate description?
Yes. He's with a pair of my friends right now, and I've heard Tiki's having a great time.
Oh, good for him. Yeah. All right, this is a post from June 21st, 2024. We can mock the Mets all we want as Yankee fans, but let's be real. Not only do we wish we had him, we need Grimace. Was that Chris McMonagle, Keith McPherson, Sean Morash, or Evan Roberts? Why would I tweet that? That's stupid. What's your guess?
I'm not going to guess because I know who it is.
Tommy, what's your guess?
That would be one Mr. Sean Morash.
Okay, yeah, I have no cat in the dog race. What do you call-
You remember tweeting that?
I do remember tweeting that.
A lot of times Sean gets tripped up by his own tweets, but that one you vividly remember.
So fresh. Because I still remember it. As a matter of fact, I found myself asking this question last night about a half an hour after Devin Williams blew the save. Do we need the Hamburglar?
That's funny. Here's post number two, November 12th, 2019. Just got into an Uber and the driver says, quote, I know who you are. Tell Joe Beningo I learned English by listening to him overnights. Is that person Evan Roberts, Greg Giannotti, Boomer Esiason, Chris McMonagle? Sean?
I think it's McMonagle.
You're wrong.
I'm going to say, do I go now? Is this how it works?
Yeah.
I'm going to say that is Greg Giannotti.
You're wrong.
Wow.
Whoa. Evan's giving me a look, but I believe I took Evan's first ever Uber because he was very curious when we waited outside a gas station outside UBS if the Uber was going to be there on time.
I'm not an experienced Uber man.
So I'm going to go, who was the fourth person besides that?
The correct answer, which is Norman Julius Boomer Esiason.
It's great that Tommy gets an opportunity. I do believe that it is a gift to the fans.
Thank you, Boomer.
I find that amazing.
I know. That's my favorite part. Boomer Esiason, former NFL MVP, walks into an Uber, and the guy says, I know who you are. Okay, great. Whether it's on the radio or as a football star. Tell Beningo I learned English listening to his overnight.
Imagine Boomer Esiason, who's played in a Super Bowl.
I know.
MVP. Gets in your Uber, and your thought is Joe Beningo.
What throws you off with the tweet is when the Uber driver says, I know who you are. Like, it should be implied you know who Boomer is. So that's why I went, like, lower on the rungs there. You
now,
know?
Boomer had a good sense of humor because he tweeted it clearly. But if I'm Boomer in that spot and I think about the life I've lived.
You're offended?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's your message?
The number one thing, yes.
And we love Joe, but learning English from Joe is not exactly.
I took that as ironic.
The pain.
I think that's fascinating. Imagine what that guy sounds like.
Yeah.
Well, I remember that when people are
Mr.
learning,
Smiles Muhi.
When people are learning a different language, it probably is best to watch television or listen to the radio. I remember Wilmer Flores, who of course caused me to cry a decade ago. Mm-hmm. Wilmer Flores admitted he learned English by watching Friends, which is why his walk-up music was Friends.
That makes sense.
So it kind of makes sense that the guy was listening to WFA and Joe taught him English. The pain, bro! This one is from August 28th, 2012. I will never understand why HBO shows Christmas movies in August. Is that Sean Morash, Greg Giannotti, Al Dukes, or Evan Roberts?
I'm going to go... See, if that's not clever enough and witty enough to be Al, although it could be a thought Al has, I'm going to go Evan.
You're wrong.
Wow. Okay.
Well, who's the first option again?
Me, I think.
I think that's Sean.
You're wrong.
No, I like Christmas movies all year round.
The answer is Al Dukes.
Malachi Corley.
You don't like, or you do like Christmas movies in August?
I do. I like Christmas movies all year long.
I like Christmas movies. And so if I want to see a good movie, it shouldn't matter. But there is something weird about, you know, back in the old days when you actually watched TV, putting on HBO and seeing snow falling in the middle of August. Like, I have to admit, I'm not against it. If I like a movie, I like a movie. But you got to admit, it is a little weird.
But there's a lot of people, Evan, despite the fact that I may love summer, that sit in that summer heat and go, just get, there are winter people.
Yeah.
And I think that's who that services, those people that want to be merry and cherry all year long and feel cold.
Final post, and this one is very timely. This is the reason I picked this one, because if you are aware or not aware, I'll certainly let you know, the New York Jets have had a lot of injuries over the last few days, including a knee issue for Tyrod Taylor, to which Aaron Glenn was asked, hey, is this just being old? And Aaron Glenn's like, yeah, a lot of wear and tear. So it started making me think, like, well, they don't really have a third stringer. Like, I don't trust Adrian Martinez, no offense. They did bring in a rookie that they're going to take a look at, but as like a real backup, they don't have anybody. So I thought the timing of this was interesting.
Okay.
October 29th, 2023. The New York Jets should trade for Tommy DeVito. Is that...
2023?
2023. October 29th, 2023. The New York Jets should trade for Tommy DeVito.
That's pre-DeVito blowing up.
Just saying. Is that... Evan Roberts. Al Dukes. Greg Giannotti. Or Jerry Recco?
I'm going to go Jerry Recco.
You're wrong.
I'm going to go Evan on that one.
You're wrong.
The answer again is Al Dukes.
How did Al Dukes know who...
I like to lick my hands.
He doesn't watch sports. How did he know who Tommy DeVito was before he played?
Wasn't Tommy DeVito in the preseason like a thing?
You think Al Dukes, who's lucky to watch regular season football, knew Tommy DeVito in the preseason
yes.
and remembered him by late October?
He's an Italian guy from New Jersey. You don't
think DeVito might be the answer.
You don't think Al? When did Tommy make his first start now? They got me thinking about Tommy's timetable.
He came off the bench in that Jets game, which I thought was the first week in November. And then that whole month of November was his time.
Now, let me see. I'm looking at Tommy DeVito's 2023 game log. His first, like, insertion into a game, you're right, was October 29th. So at this point, when Al Dukes tweeted this, hold on, I lost my place on what the date was. What was the date?
I thought it was the 23rd of October.
So it was a week ahead of time.
What?
Wow.
How did Al must have ran into a DeVito family member in Jersey.
October 29th, 2023 is the date.
Oh, no, it is the date. You're right.
October 29th.
The day of that game.
No, it's the day of the game.
Okay, so they're watching Zach Wilson play. And remember, DeVito had the game won. He ran
there
it in.
There you go. All right, I don't think you need to attack Al Dukes' sports knowledge.
No,
hold on.
That's not an attack. Al jokes about it all the time.
No, I understand. But I think he knew who Tommy DeVito was the day before.
That makes sense. Having the context that it was the day of that game, that makes sense.
Can we just talk about how awful they were in that segment just there?
I you know what?
They both got 3 out of 4 wrong. Both of them.
I will say this. Maybe because I always have the answers in front of me. This week felt very hard.
Very hard.
Al Dukes tweeting about Tommy DeVito before it was a thing, that's a tough one.
They're all very generic, too. Even the Christmas movie one, like, Al is usually, I don't know, he's more clever than just putting out a blanket
Al
statement.
Does, like, a setup. It's like a routine. Like, it's not just, like, a quick little thought. Yeah. You're more like that with a quick thought. Why are they doing that?
And I played the game wrong. In Tiki's chair, I played the game trying to get inside Evan Roberts' head. What does Evan Roberts want me to guess? Don't guess that and go something
right.
else.
Right.
Yeah, that's not the way to play the game. You just got to
play the
think,
game wrong.
You know the people that work here. You got to think inside of what they would say.
Next week when you play the game, Tiki plays, I don't. But if Aaron Boone was running the show, I would still play the game.
What?
He's saying that much like Aaron Boone, Evan, you would show no accountability because Sean was so bad.
I should be benched for how bad I was.
Oh, I gotcha. Boxed it again.
Thank you for that. Let's go to Angel calling from the Bronx. What's up, Angel?
Hello, gentlemen. How are we today?
Good, man. What's on your mind? Thanks for calling.
Well, first off, I would like to ask you a scorebook question.
Okay, sure.
I've been scorekeeping thanks to you. You've kind of like sparked it. So every time I go to a Mets game, I try to, you know, keep score.
I'm honored.
How did you score that Lindor strikeout that he reached the first base? Would you score it as a K, club pitch?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Very straightforward.
Is this a real phone call?
It's a strikeout, okay, and he awesome. Reaches on a wild pitch, which started that whole rally right. in the sixth inning. Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, second thing, I want to talk about the Mets because he's been abysmal. I'm losing hope here, and I really don't want to. I love the Mets. My girlfriend made this comment the other day where she said something like, "Oh, these guys always hype you up. They always get this momentum. And then at the end, it just falls flat." Mm. And I feel like that's been the whole season. And she doesn't watch a lick of baseball before she met me. She just started. So the fact that she realizes that is a little crazy. I mean, what are these guys supposed to do? Why can't it be us to get the big hit? Why can't we get starters that pitch into the sixth or seventh inning? Nobody named David Peterson. He's the only guy that does it. You know, our bullpen is nailed. We're good there, but we can't get a big hit. We can't get starting pitches to go after six innings. What's going on here?
Yeah, Angel, GM
doesn't want to bring... I'm sorry.
No. I think that one of the questions is very easy to answer and the other one's complicated. The easy to answer thing is the starting pitching. Frankie Montas is not that good. And I remember when they signed him, Frankie Montas.
Yeah.
Rosie's not prepared. No, he's busy eating.
He's eating again.
But can you even find that? Frankie Montas?
He gave us his one good drop for the day. He's hanging up the bats and balls.
He mailed it up. So when they
Frankie Montas.
Thank you, Keith. Frankie Montas, when they signed him, I think we all kind of had the same view. He's not any good, but hey, maybe the pitching lab gets him working. Clay Holmes is a converted reliever, so an experiment. Kodai Senga, I still trust Kodai, and I think sometimes when he's in a mechanical funk, it just continues. But Kodai Senga has never been a reliable, I'm going to give you seven innings every 6 days. So it's not surprising with Senga. Manaea missed a lot of time. Yesterday, he just imploded in the sixth inning. And you mentioned the one guy that's reliable. So I think when you look at the rotation, it's easy to understand why they're not getting a lot of innings out of their starters. So that one's an easy one. The offense not hitting with runners in scoring position, bro, I can't answer it. I can't answer why Juan Soto, who you know better than anybody as a Yankee fan last year, owned the big moment, why he's hitting 185.
I
can't answer that.
It's the guy you want up with runners in scoring position.
Yes. I can't answer it.
That's the one guy I am not worried about, even in the postseason. I feel like when the lights shine the brightest. Actually, Jerry Seinfeld made this comment on the Me Here, You There podcast.
Was he on?
He was on.
I'm going to download that.
He was on. Rosie was more focused on producing that than this show yesterday. So he was on with Steve, and he made the comment that last year with the Yankees in all these moments was Juan Soto's bachelor party, and now he's gotten married.
That's good.
And
now
you've had these moments. Yes.
He's comfortable.
He's comfortable, yeah.
Yeah, the runners in scoring position thing is, it's bizarre. And, you know, I try to hold out a hope with what Tommy has said, which is eventually they'll hit. And I hope that's the case. I mean, look at Pete Alonso last year. Pete Alonso did not have, you know, I love Pete. He did not have an impactful year last year. He just didn't. He really lacked the big hits on any kind of consistent basis. And then when the chips were down and the season was about to end, he supplied arguably the biggest hit in the history of the franchise.
And ruined this year's Yankees in the process.
That's right. And broke the Yankees. So it can change, but it's complicated. So when Angel says, why can't they get the big hit? I mean, we can get into the weeds on numbers. Hey, there's a lot of bad luck. Or how they're chasing pitches or whatever you want to come up with, but the results are not good enough.
I think you reevaluate the runners in scoring position thing that final week of August in that series versus the Phillies. If you walk out of that with a month left in the season, you've lost game to Philadelphia and you haven't hit with runners in scoring position, then I think we officially stamp that these are who these Mets are. I'm willing to give them, because I think that's when the lights turn the brightest at the end of the month.
But outside of he's feeling pressure to live up to his contract, or like Jerry Seinfeld said, he's now married to the Mets, so he's a little more relaxed. What have we not seen from Juan Soto throughout his career that would tell us that he's not going to be clutch? He's been one of the most clutch players in the sport. He's won a championship. He went to a World Series. That's why I'm confident it's going to turn around, unless you say the contract or it's a Beltran situation where the first year it just didn't click.
Yeah, maybe it's just one of those years.
I know, but like
he could have 14 years in a row where he's the most clutch Met. Maybe it's just a one-off year.
Yeah, I know, but it feels like a lot of people are pointing to things that are just...
There may not be a reason for it.
I don't think there is a reason. I think we try to find them, and the contract is always convenient, yeah. But I don't have a reason. Right. I just know it's not good enough. And it's not just him. Like, Francisco Lindor has not had a good clutch season. Now, we all know he's clutch. We remember what he did last year. But the numbers are the numbers. He's got a 690 OPS with runners in scoring positions. Like, it is what it is. So I think we search for answers, and it's convenient with Juan Soto to say he's pressing. I don't even know if that's the case. I can't say that. I don't know the reason. Other than Pete Alonso. Pete has had, and I know he struck out yesterday, bases loaded one out, but Pete Alonso, his numbers with runners in scoring position have been nails all year long. He's the one guy.
And he's been clutch, too. I mean, he struck out, but he's also the reason you're back in the game.
I agree. He was 4-for-4 when he struck out. Right. I'm just pointing out that he's really been the one reliable guy in that spot.
The only situation I could think of all year long where I felt like, maybe Soto was pressing, was it, what night was it? Was it Friday night, Ev, where he swung at a pitch? It was the second pitch. He was up 1-0 in the count.
Yeah. Popped up the second base.
The pitcher was wild.
Yeah.
Juan is always very selective. That felt like a press. And maybe the opening day against Hayden.
Yeah, I don't.
But other than that, it's like he's doing what Juan Soto does. It's just.
Just not hitting with runners in scoring position.
Nobody can explain it.
I can't explain it. I just know it's got to be better. Gabe is calling from Wayne, New Jersey. Good afternoon, Gabe.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the call. This is a miserable day.
I called.
Yeah, that's what it is. Sean, you're great. Don't worry about it, man. But look. I called back in April, 11 games in the season for the Yankees. I said that the season was over. Jokingly, but, you know, half kidding. Looking back now, not a lot has changed. The fundamentals have still been crap, and Boone can't manage his way out of a bullpen to save his life. So I'll edit that statement a little bit. The Yankees season is over right now on August 5th, 2025, unless they fire their manager. And even that doesn't give them a guarantee to make the postseason. And here's what, and I'm just going to use numbers at this point. Not my feelings, not my emotions, all that kind of stuff. IBO right here, right? The Yankees, in order to win 90 games this season, are going to need to go 30-19 through the next 49 games. The last time they went 30-19 was to start this season.
Yeah.
Ever since then, they've gone 30-34.
Yeah.
So let's play like, you know, hey, let's have them playing slightly better baseball and going 500 the rest of the way. They're 3 games over 500 to end the season, probably missing out on the wild card spot. They need a charge. They need a spark. At the end of the day, this isn't a team that's going to magically get better. You know, Boone, at the end of the day, I think he gave himself all the rope that he needed to hang himself with when right after that trade deadline and they added 2 new closers to the team, he defiantly said Devin Williams is going to remain our closer.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, but Gabe,
those
guys who they brought in also bleeped the bed and cost them the game on Friday. Well, so even if he
no
had come
sleep.
Out, what was that?
They had no sleep.
Oh, stop with that.
That's true.
A lot of guys don't have sleep. There's a lot of games played this season.
You think it's a coincidence that all three guys sucked off no sleep?
I do think it's a coincidence. I've seen many examples of guys getting called up on 1 hour sleep and getting the big hit. Remember Matt Reynolds with the Mets in 2016?
Oh, God.
Big hit. I got my second 2016 Mets reference. I don't think that's a fair excuse.
Now, here's where Gabe does have reason to concern when he brings up the record they'd have to go. If the Yankees are going to turn this around and really not leave us with any doubt, they better do it over the next 2-3 weeks. Because starting September 2nd, they will play that bulk of September, 12 straight games. I think it's Astros, Blue Jays, Tigers, Red Sox.
It's tough.
Like, if you don't figure this out now in the next couple weeks, that will bury you at the beginning
of
September.
Well, it's why for the first time, and I certainly haven't thought this, but it's for the first time where you look at the standings, you look at the way they've played, and you start to see a world where they miss the playoffs entirely. And I've never thought that. And that would be a disaster. Like, that would make 2023, their other non-playoff year in recent time, seem like child's play. If they miss the playoffs this season with this roster after their start in this league. And you're right. It becomes a real potential threat, a real thing that could happen.